Raven, I don't like the word hazing. It has such a negative connotation. You know that?
It can be hazy outside.
Yeah, but
then the sky's not nice. You get clouds, or you got a little bit of smog with it too. What
no,
do you mean?
No, I'm talking about hazing when it comes to like sororities and initiations.
Oh, you must be talking about the cheerleaders.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. If you haven't heard about this, the president of University of Kentucky, here he is explaining why they fired four of their head coaches. Now, keep in mind,
that's all of them, I think.
All of them. And they have won, the University of Kentucky in the cheerleading world has won 24 national titles in the last 35 years. They're a big deal in the cheerleading
world.
They're
the Yankees of cheerleading.
Yeah.
The integrity of the program has been compromised by inappropriate behavior by some squad members during off-campus trips and lax oversight of the coaches and the advisor. An extensive investigation found hazing activities, alcohol use, and public nudity.
So what happened?
I mean, that guy definitely is the president of the University of Kentucky 100%. Athletics because he sounds so Kentucky.
Right.
But what's with the guy coughing in the background he's doing?
Sneezing. I kept listening.
Is somebody having a cigar?
Imagine this guy.
Is it the tobacco fields of Kentucky?
Because for us, we're like, all right, like kind of who cares? It's like the cheerleading of Kentucky. It's but like, this I mean, if you big news there.
If and you don't you... think they're misbehaving, I mean, you're crazy.
Wait, hold on, but listen.
Of the coaches and the advisor.
Do you think that guy got fired for sneezing in the background? Do you think he got fired?
I think he got distanced right out of the room.
Anyway, so what happened is during a cheer retreat last summer, the investigation found that they were the cheerleaders that were doing like stunts, but they were drinking.
Right.
And they were naked.
Yeah.
And then they were throwing the cheerleaders, you know, the flyers, the ones that go up in the basket tosses and
sure.
all that. They were throwing them into the lake naked
right.
after they'd been drinking.
Of
so
course.
They fired everybody.
In view of directors, too. I mean, right. that's what I heard is that those things happened.
Yeah. Like, okay, here's the thing. And I'm going to be honest with you. My sorority has currently been kicked off campus for 3 years. That is the current state of my sorority.
Is it involving nudity?
No, it's not nudity, but it's hazing.
Wow.
Now, I think that there is a difference between straight hazing, which is like you're forcing people to drink alcohol.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, my sorority, we were...
It's a very dangerous game.
Right. When we were pledging, we were not allowed to drink. We were not allowed. But I think that there is something to be said for initiation and having things that you do. I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with that as long as you're not putting people in danger.
I mean,
don't circle my fat.
So it all comes down to the fact that you are joining a club, right?
Right.
And when you're trying to join a club or a tribe of some sorts, I mean, going back thousands of years since the dawn of man, there was some sort of initiation. Maybe it was to make you a member of the club. Maybe it was when you came of age, whatever it may be. Alcohol's a dangerous game, obviously. Those type of things
That's
are a dangerous
a different
game.
Story.
But you sign up for certain things, too.
Right.
Hazing just nowadays, though, you know you can't do it. So it doesn't matter if emotionally you feel like there's a time and a place. Like, honestly, you just know you can't do it. There's a cell phone age. Somebody's going to lose their job at some point. Somebody's going to get in trouble. It's probably going to be you if you're part of it. You're complicit of hazing. Wouldn't it have just been easier to talk about weather and smoggy conditions outside?
But then how do you build that sisterhood and bond? And again, these cheerleaders, and they found that there was no, like, assault or anything like that. These
sure.
are pretty much a bunch of kids that went, got rowdy, drunk, and did some dumb things, and
right.
then the coaches didn't do anything about it.
But
that's
that
what happened here.
That won't reflect well on a university, obviously. Or, sooner or later, a liability issue will come up. Hazing, no good.
But I think having sleepovers with your pledge sisters in, you know, a 12-by-12 room when there's 13 of you for a couple months, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think it builds a relationship.
Yeah, but the football team can't duct tape their butt cheeks together.
That, no.
That type of stuff is over.
That's,
you want a bond, just go on spring break and get arrested together.
Okay. Yep. It's false advertising, and I'm willing to make a citizen's arrest.
I mean, you sound upset. Is that because you're from a restaurant family?
Yeah.
All right.
You can't disguise yourself as something else and think people aren't going to be outraged when you're delivering food. And you're supposed to be delivering high-quality, delicious food, and it's really Chuck E. Cheese, and you're lying.
It's working. Give me the story, then let's talk about the food.
It's Anna and Raven. Okay. If you go on your like Uber Eats app and you
right.
order some food to be delivered and you see a restaurant pop up, this is Pasquale's Pizza and Wings.
Okay, Grubhub,
yeah,
Postmates,
Grubhub,
anything like that, right?
Yeah, you see it, you're like, oh, Pasquale's Pizza and Wings. That sounds like a nice local restaurant
right.
I'd like to support.
Sounds like a place. It sounds like a family.
Yeah.
An old family from the old country. They've come here, they've brought all the recipes.
Oh, Pasquale. Oh, Pasquale.
Oh, those guys. I know those guys.
It's not Pasquale.
I think I went to school with like seven of those kids.
It's not Pasquale.
Come on.
Don't believe it. You know what it is?
What is it?
It's Chuck E. Cheese. So Chuck E. Cheese has started using Pasquale's Pizza and Wings during the pandemic as their name when people order, so they can get people to order from them because they know if they get Chuck E. Cheese pizza, nobody's going to buy it.
Wait a minute.
And I'm mad about it.
Wait a minute. Do we know that there's nobody in the Chuck E. Cheese company named Pasquale?
Well, here's...
Is this the LLC that they started with 1,000 years ago?
Are you ready for this backstory?
I am, please.
Pasquale's is actually the person behind why there's pizza at Chuck E. Cheese. And years ago, many years ago, when they first started this, the story is that Pasquale is this animatronic, you know, basically looks like my father, Italian guy with the bushy beard.
Right, right.
Bushy mustache.
Okay.
Who makes pizza.
Yes.
Like my dad.
Like a wonderful person.
Right.
Just like, makes it.
Like my dad, Dino, but his name is Pasquale.
Right.
And
so you go to Pasquale's.
And he encountered this mouse. And then the mouse was crazy because the mouse could talk. So they became like friends.
Yeah, that would make it a crazy mouse.
Welcome to Chuck E. Cheese. That's the backstory behind Chuck E. Cheese. Is that the chef met this mouse that could talk. They filmed, like, they built a friendship. And it's so much so, Raven, that listen to this. There's even a song about Pasquale.
Oh, Pasquale. His comedy will always make you jolly. If it's punchlines or it's lunchtime.
If you get stuck in between one of those animatronic arms, I have a feeling it would just decapitate you. It would just take your head right off. I gotta be honest.
I feel like you're not
smelling
upset
like
about
mouthballs.
And people,
I love Chuck E. Cheese, though.
Yeah, I know you love Chuck E. Cheese.
I like to go there.
Right, but do you? If you order a pizza, right,
uh-huh.
And you want pizza and wings, you want like a good pizza.
I want
like,
it from Pasquale.
No, you.
I want it from Pasquale.
This is an imposter. This is an imposter animatronic.
You can't
Pasquale.
Lie to people. I will say that.
Right.
But.
And they're saying, they're defending themselves. They're saying that lots of restaurants do this. They go under different guises and they have multiple restaurants out of the kitchen. I don't know. I don't know how Pasquale feels about this. I don't know. To me, I find this very problematic.
Thank you.
Do you have a work husband or a work wife? Turns out for women, nearly 50% of women claim to have a work husband and 41% of men have a work wife. Now,
okay.
The question is, Raven, is that, are your real spouses jealous of the relationship you have with your work husband, work wife?
Well, I think naturally at some points there's going to be certain things that they'd be like, a little bit. But it depends on the amount of time and the situations you're in. During the pandemic, given the fact that both our spouses are working at home right now at this point, I think that intensifies some things from time to time.
It's Anna and Raven. So my husband working from home at first was nice.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, I contemplated and called the CEO of his company to beg him to take him back.
Right.
I don't care if they dig him a ditch in the back
to
in
keep
the parking
him safe.
Lot
right.
And just put him there.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to work. gotten to that point.
To be fair, he's working at home
and
a
he works
lot.
Hard.
And the hours
and
are a lot.
So
of, and it's
hard.
A lot of hours and different times, and it's not lining up, and it's difficult. But just, you know, personality wise, you've had enough, is what you're saying.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So we thought we would ask our spouses and record them.
Yeah.
And let's start with my husband, Paul, as we speak of him.
Okay.
Here's what he had to say.
What do you think about me and Raven's relationship at work?
Never really thought about it, but, you know, I guess you guys get to talk a lot to each other. It's nice. Mm. No kids running around. You seem pretty happy and upbeat when you guys are always talking, so I think you guys have a pretty good relationship.
Do you ever get jealous because he's my work husband and I have to be trapped with him in a room for 8 to 10 hours a day?
Never thought of him in that light as your work husband. Am I jealous? No.
Why not?
Well, cause sometimes people need separation from each other.
Like us right now. Go.
I can hear it in your voice while you're asking him.
Right.
Did you ask him this question at the beginning of the day or the end of the day?
Oh, it was last night when I had had enough. But, but you want to know what, Raven?
Yeah.
You don't have to take this the wrong way.
Okay.
I have never considered you my work husband.
Right. You're more like a work sibling.
Yes. Like you're like my work brother. Like
right.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And down the hall, I would consider my work husband because I rely on him for help. Like things that I need help with.
Okay.
But for you, I feel like we're more like partners and we're equal and it's a little bit different.
It is a little bit different.
Yeah.
It is a little bit different. Just the same, I thought it would be wise to ask my wife if she was ever jealous of our relationship too or any situations.
Well, most recently would have to be yesterday when you left me with absolutely no running water to go, you know, make sure you did your job with Anna and left me here like, you know, in the wilderness with nothing, like I was camping.
No
that
water.
Wasn't cool. And you also, you wouldn't make TikToks with me, but you made TikToks with Anna.
Yeah.
I was forced to.
That happened too. I'm sure there's many others, but off the top of my head, yesterday for sure. And that wasn't the first time you left me with no water.
She never forgets.
To go. Yeah.
I blame the house, not myself.
No, but you could have called Anna and said, listen, we have an emergency and, you know, I should be with my wife and not you, but nope.
She has a wife. She has a memory like an elephant. She never forgets. When was the last water emergency? Was I guess it was over the winter. I guess that happened. But yeah, had to go to work yesterday.
She blames me for had you to having to go to work.
Yeah, had to come to work. Well, you know, 4:30 in the morning when you're telling her in the dark that there's no running water, and she starts crying and she goes, woo-woo, like, you know, you're going to leave her with, and there was only a gallon of water in the house.
Oh.
That was rough.
Brandon.
It was rough. And I was like, yeah, I'm going.
Alicia,
gotta go.
Alicia, he's so bad at the TikToks. You don't want him. We don't even get views on that page because he's so bad. He can't do the dance. Renegade, renegade. He has no idea what that even means.
Oh, yeah. Late night. She gets jealous about that.
Yep.
Yep.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You could always call 1-800-330-9999, or you could text 1-800-330-9999. We got a text, Raven. I think it's controversial.
Okay, go for it.
If you cut your pizza with a fork and knife, that's all I need to know about you.
Are we talking about, like, you sit down with it and it's on a plate and you're eating it with a fork and knife? Or are you talking about, like, you get it and there's extra cheese, so you need that knife to cut it apart when you first open it up?
I think if you use a knife, period,
yeah.
That's all I need to know about you. What are your thoughts on this? Because I certainly have thoughts.
Well, it just depends on the pizza. It really does depend on the pizza. If gravity is with me, if physics are my friend, then I'm never going to cut the pizza, all right? The only exceptions being is that if it's extremely flimsy, it's a thin crust, but it's not crusty. You know what I mean? It's not crispy at all. So that could happen. I might need it because it'll just flop.
Mm.
Even with the fold, you try and put the V-fold in, and it still flops.
So you're telling me you disagree.
And it's a big slice, you know, like a city slice. If that's got the flop, then you might need it. The other thing is if it's wicked, wicked hot, but you got to get it in your mouth. So you cut it, and then you're like.
What do you like? What do you like? Are you blowing on your pizza?
Yeah.
Blowing on your pizza?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you could do it. But that's the only times, in my opinion.
I think you've basically just proven a point. Like, you need to suck it up, and you need to shove it in your mouth with your hands.
No.
Because that's what real Americans do.
I just can't be burnt. I can't be burnt on my palate, all right? Because then I can't taste the rest of the pizza.
So you got to wait for it to cool down. Actually, yeah. It's not true. No one actually
it's impossible.
Waits for it to cool
it's
down.
It's impossible.
It smells so delicious.
Right.
How are you possibly going to wait?
It's impossible. By the way, a floppy pizza does not make me happy. So I'm not happy to use the knife and fork if I need to, but I will.
The only time I use a knife and fork and is to feed my toddler.
Okay.
Because when she bites it, she doesn't understand, and she puts so much in her cheeks. She stores it like a squirrel.
Right. Like a chipmunk.
Yeah.
Right.
If you ever look at her, it's like her cheeks are puffed out, but
are you tempted to push them and pop it like a zit?
No, what I do is I shove my finger in her mouth.
Oh, good.
Because I know that she's harboring the food in her cheeks, and I'm afraid she's going to choke.
Yeah.
So I use the fork so I can monitor how much she's putting in her mouth. I think that's really the only reason. There's no other reason why you should be using a knife or fork on pizza.
Why are we breaching this? What was it?
Because the text message said if you use a knife and fork, that's all I need to know.
I forgot. I got so caught up in the fact that now I want pizza, and now I'm upset.
Right. Okay.
If you're a contractor that shows up at somebody's house, and your website promises on every page that there will be a quote, detailed analysis and estimate before any work is to begin, and then you get so angry when somebody asks you to actually do what your website says, and that your arrogance makes them kick you off the property because they're simultaneously telling you that they're going to charge you $4,000, but they're not actually giving you a number. They're just saying a minimum. That's all I need to know about you. Check your website, bro. I had a rough day yesterday.
I stopped listening halfway through because you were just yelling.
No,
you
were same thing.
Yelling
I get confused
about contractors on your. Okay.
Just know what your website says. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
They aren't really journalists, but they can give you some local news. Three things you need to know today with Anna and Raven.
Three things you need to know, Anna and Raven. Number one, the war of the beaches is on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Nassau County's Laura Curran and her representative, they originally said this.
There are 8 million residents in the city of New York. If a small fraction of those residents
come to Nassau County to our beaches, they will inundate the beaches.
Because of what the mayor of New York City's actions, we feel we have to do it because our residents pay such high taxes.
So they don't want New York City residents to come to the beaches. And right. I understand that. If you're a non-resident, you're paying taxes. Here's the thing. Roger Moses and Jones Beach don't count in this because they're state parks, so those have to be open.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if de Blasio said himself that if you go in the water in the New York City beaches, you're going to be yanked out. But he's basically giving the thumbs up to, you know, head to the island and do it there.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Somebody else's problem.
Now de Blasio is yelling back. And he's like, he said yesterday, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, this, you know, we were talking about this last week when we were talking about reserving spots on beaches, man. This is what happens when there's only a limited amount of space and there's so many population. You can't, there's not a lot of options to go other places. People that were normally traveling this time of year can't do it. Either you can't get there or you can't afford it or whatever. And now the weather's finally going to break. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. Places, I'll just tell you this. If you're planning on going to the beach, you better be there early.
Right.
It's like the state parks.
You should
gotta
go now.
Get there early.
Get in the car.
That's right.
Go now.
If you want to be there Friday morning, the nicest day so far it looks like of the week, I would leave Thursday night.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Right. Second thing you should know this morning, Connecticut will start reopening malls, museums, retail stores, outdoor seatings at restaurants. Here's what Governor Lamont said yesterday.
First, let me give you the daily summary. It is, I think, good news, given where we thought we should be on the day before May 20th, which is our phase one reopening day.
I mean, a lot of people are excited. I know a lot of people just want to go to basic stores today. I mean, I talked with my wife and some other people in the neighborhood. They just want to do that. People are excited, although, you know, certain things have been pulled back. It's going to be a wait and see thing.
Connecticut is the last state in the country to start reopening as part of phase one.
Yeah.
Obviously, New York's upstate has already started, even though Long Island and New York City have not. And that date hasn't really been defined quite yet.
Right. I saw June 1st, but some things are moving.
Right. It also depends on if the cases keep declining, which let's hope they will.
Right.
Now, June 1st will be when hair salons and barbers open in Connecticut. And June 20th is a date right now for gyms to be open.
Yeah.
Which is a big one that people are waiting for. And the third thing you need to know this morning, health officials are warning against COVID parties, but COVID parties probably aren't what you think.
There is this belief that if they become infected with the virus, they will be permanently immune to it. They're just going to gatherings to get purposely infected with the virus.
So this is a chickenpox party?
Yeah.
But now people are having COVID parties because they think it's going to build their immunity to it. And they're saying, please don't do this.
Right. We've seen this time and time again in other countries. And they've said people that got over it have gotten it again.
I just want to say this, though. And I don't want... Oh,
here we go. Here we go.
I do think, you know, I like germs. I think germs are important. So I do think that keeping inside too long isn't going to help us in
the
future.
Well, go get some other germs. Go roll around in your backyard with polio.
Hang out with
smallpox.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do?
Right?
I'm going to call chicken pox
over. Call your best friend with measles and hang out with them,
I guess. All right. 1-800-330-9999. What's that one thing that you saw that you'll never be able to unsee ever again? It's Anna on Raven.
It's a slippery slope when you start to think about these things, when you start to go down it, because then you're like, oh, that was traumatic. And then it triggers something else, another memory. Just us talking about it here in the studio, I was thinking about it a bit. But we saw something here at work the other day that was a little bit, we saw it.
We have a popcorn machine here in the office.
No, we had.
Had. COVID-19 took the popcorn machine
from us.
That's
right. It took it away from us along with everybody else's happiness. Just,
right.
You know, destroyed our happiness, basically.
Yeah. It was one of those things that we all share. We loved it. There was always fresh, hot popcorn. It was nice.
I'm going to pour out some malt liquor over here right now for the popcorn machine. Pour it out for my homies.
Long story short, we can't share food anymore in the office, which we get it. It is what it is. So we have the dumpster at our office building that's kind of down below our window so we could see it. So sometimes, like, when the songs are playing, I'll always walk over to the window and, like, you know, talk.
Peruse what's in the dumpster.
Right. And look down. Somebody threw out popcorn machine.
Right, diligently.
Somebody, whoever's job that is
As the order came down from high above.
But then Raven and I saw something.
One of our friends here in the office pulled up in their car.
They're not really our friend. You don't know. I mean, they work with us.
I'm friendlier than you, maybe,
okay.
I guess.
All right.
I don't know.
Go
pulled
ahead.
Up in his little hatchback. pulled up pulled up with the hatchback open and jumped into that dumpster and grabbed the popcorn machine with a zest that I haven't seen in a while. I mean, that guy is basically my age, and he moved like he was 17 years old. Right. Just up over the side and had that thing hoisted over his head and right in the back of the hatch and then closed it up like it never happened. I saw him an hour later in the office. He acted like nothing was going on.
He went dumpster diving for the popcorn machine. He went dumpster diving for the popcorn machine. So now it's like, all I can see, now whenever I look at him, I can't look at him because I'm obviously not going to say anything.
You want to ask him, like, how's that popcorn?
Hey,
what's up?
Did you go dumpster diving for the popcorn machine?
I once saw an adult woman, a woman. This is an ex-wife of not what I would call a friend, but an acquaintance, making out with somebody that I'm pretty sure is her cousin and was definitely like 15 years younger than her. I can't unsee
that. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's laws against that, at least in a lot of areas.
I have two situations that I can never unsee. One is when I was much younger, I would say probably 10 or 11.
Yeah.
My aunt and uncle were staying with us at our house because their house was under construction.
Sure.
And they were staying in my room, and I was sharing a room with my brother at the time.
Right, right.
And I was like knocking on the door to tell them that breakfast was ready, and I opened it. And they were making out.
Oh, did he have a mustache?
It was my room.
Were they like hairy? Did he have a mustache?
No, they were under the cover, so I didn't see anything.
I know, but that bed's got to go.
Ugh.
Oh, that bed's got to go.
Yeah, and then there's the guy at the mall. I always see this guy at the mall. He has a ring of plastic spoons around his head. He wears it like a crown and a cape that looks like it's made of foil. And when he walks,
he's sashaying.
I'll never, like, every time I see him, it's like he walks with purpose, too, and I don't know where he's going.
He's on a mission, man.
Yeah, I never unsee that. 1-800-330-9999. What's that one thing you'll never be able to unsee? 1-800-330-9999. What's that one thing you can't unsee? Raven and I saw a coworker dumpster diving outside of our studio windows to get a popcorn machine that we had to throw away because we're not allowed to have popcorn machines anymore.
It was astounding how quickly he was over the side of that thing, back out of it with the popcorn machine, and had it in his hatchback.
Right.
He was like, COVID be damned. This thing's coming home with daddy.
It's Anna and Raven. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you see that you'll never be able to unsee?
I think I've been waiting for this call all my life.
Oh, please. Please give it to me, girl.
I swear. Okay, so you know that thing that your parents used to have about not going to other kids' houses?
Right.
I figured out why. So I go to my girlfriend's house one day, and we come in, and her mom is in the kitchen, and I can hear her dad's voice, but I don't see him. So we're doing homework at the table, and her father comes out to get his dinner, but he has on his boxers.
Yep.
Her father walks back from the kitchen, and I kid you not, his body parts just slipped out of the front.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, back in the day, boxers were loose, all right? There was not a lot. There was nothing holding it in.
Oh, my God.
So it was really just wearing a curtain is what it was.
Oh. And I swear, I told my mom that they have a lizard or a snake at their house, and I'm not going back.
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
You can never look at him. Oh, God.
I told you, I've been waiting for this all my life.
Thank you, dear. You have a great morning.
You too, guys.
Bye.
It sounds like therapy.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What is something you can never unsee?
I almost can't even talk about it because it grossed me out so bad. My daughter's a field hockey player, and a couple years ago, we were at one of her matches, and she got hit really bad, and I could almost hear her arm break.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just saying it.
Yeah.
It snapped, and I could see it bend in the wrong direction.
And you have to watch it on your kid. And what do you do as a mom? Like,
you
what
throw
do you do?
Up. You throw up into your purse. You immediately throw up in your purse.
Yeah.
You throw up in your purse.
And then you tell somebody to call 911. Oh, man.
Oh, that's my nightmare, is to see my daughter get hurt playing sports. Like, real hurt. Oh, is she okay?
Yeah, it was a really bad break, but she's okay now.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's something you can never unsee?
I saw my aunt cheat on my uncle. I'm a driver for Grubhub.
Okay.
And I was delivering some food to a house. The door opened and it was my aunt, and it's not her house. And I was like, you know, surprised, because I'm like, okay, maybe she's at a party or something. And I lean in to give her a kiss and say hi. And she had this look on her face of just shock. And when I leaned in, I could see some dude sitting on a couch behind her.
Oh.
But that was definitely not my uncle.
Oh, no. What do you do in that situation?
So I saw a friend's dad. I caught a friend's dad cheating when we were like older teenagers. And it changed my relationship with my friend forever because I had to tell him he wasn't with us. And like then they got divorced shortly after that. Like, I don't think it was a result of that. I think they were waiting until the kids were grown anyways. Right. But yeah, it was crazy.
What did you do?
I just left. I mean, I never said anything about it. It was too awkward. And you know, as an adult, I was like, well, I guess that's her business. But it was so awkward.
I would blackmail her, man. I would make that phone call right out. I would take this MP3 and say, this could get worse for you.
Did she ever say anything to you about it? Like, what?
She gonna say nothing.
No, maybe she will.
No, it never came up. I got a good tip. She tipped me well, but I never...
Get back in the car on the Grubhub. Right. This is an additional $500.
Right. You write it in yourself. That's what I would do.
All right. Oh, that stinks. Thank you for the call, though. I appreciate it. I don't know what I would do in that situation. That's awful.
I mean, it wasn't his wife. He's over it.
Yeah. All right. There's a new trend people are posting. It's a video of themselves putting corn on the cob on a drill, and then they eat it on the drill so it rotates for you.
People are really bored. They have got a lot of time on their hands.
It's Anna and Raven. Here's what happened when Jason Derulo tried it.
Hey, have y'all seen this? I've always wanted to try it. Life hack.
Lost two front teeth.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Like, is that a real thing, or did he do that as a joke?
Nope, for real. Jason Derulo lost two teeth.
What? did the rotation too much?
Yep.
You got to use one of the ones with the clutch built in, all right? Because that way, if the screw gets in too far, it goes brrr, and it stops turning.
Yep.
He should have done that with his teeth.
Right. So it turns out that the way you actually eat corn on the cob says a lot about you.
Yeah.
How do you eat your corn on the cob?
I rotate it, but I go left to right or right to left,
you clear a line.
Yeah, I clear a line, and then I move to the next thing because I can't miss any because I love corn.
That's called the typewriter.
Okay.
And if you're a typewriter, what that says about your personality is that you're a neat freak. You live orderly with a methodical life. And you may be prone to more obsessive compulsive disorders.
Yes and no. There's definitely some truth to that. Sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other ways you could eat it, and it says a lot about you.
Mm.
The free spirit, and I've never met a free spirit person before, and
bite everywhere?
No, they try to make designs in their corn.
I mean, that's the
like
strangest
their teeth
thing.
Are like paintbrushes, and they're using it as a canvas.
Who has that kind of time?
I don't know.
They're probably the same people that can tie a cherry stick, though, in a thing, and I can't do that.
Yeah. Then there's another way that's really popular is the rolling pin, how you rotate it around.
Yes.
So that's actually favored by creative, artistic, and right brain folks.
Okay.
So
how can I
creative.
Be both? How can I be two out of three?
No, because you eat first. If you eat left
to
right
full
first,
row.
That's a typewriter.
Okay, so I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so if you go all around and then you start the next one around.
Creative thinker.
Then there's the rabid squirrel. That's when you just eat all over the place with no rhyme or reason. And
you
that
just
means,
try and get in there.
That means you're psychotic.
When it's really good, though, and you get that first bite and you're like, oh, it's sweet. And you can't control yourself sometimes the first 15 seconds or so.
And the article won't even address people that use a knife to cut off the corn because they say that's only for children with no teeth.
I mean, who is that?
My daughter does that, Hayden, the older one. She has teeth. And
keep the drill away from her.
But you want to know what? Wow. I don't eat corn on the cob because I don't like corn in my teeth. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. So I wonder what that says about me.
You're probably going to date Jason Derulo sometime in the future because that dude is done with it.
Right. He's got nice abs, though. Andy Edelstein is from Newsday Entertainment Editor. I think people are finished watching Netflix. Is that possible?
I've run out, man. You got to help me. I've run out.
Is that a thing?
At the moment, but there always will be stuff coming on. In fact, there's one show that's coming on next week. Steve Carell is back in a series, and it's called Space Force. It's a comedy about the newest branch of the United States military. Steve Carell is the general who's in charge of it. Of course, it's basically Michael Scott in space. So I think people will be talking about that. Plus, Netflix has a real good schedule of movies coming up. There's a new Spike Lee movie that's coming out in June with Chadwick Boseman, the guy from Black Panther.
Yeah.
So no, Netflix is not going away, nor is Hulu, nor is Amazon. And in fact, next week on the 27th, HBO Max launches, and that's the newest streaming service. And that has enough stuff to keep you busy through a pandemic that will last three centuries. Nobody wants that, but they do want to watch Friends, and this is where you'll be able to watch Friends. It's pricey. It's $15 a month, which is more than Netflix, but if you subscribe to regular HBO now, you'll get HBO Max.
I just watched that Extraction on Netflix. That was awesome with Chris Hemsworth. Michael Scott and Rockets, I'm here for that.
That's going to be a good one.
So what do you think is the number one thing you should be watching right now?
It's a show on Hulu called Mrs. America. It takes place in the 1970s. It's a story about the battle over the Equal Rights Amendment, and it's it probably captures the 1970s better than just about any other show. It's very Mad Men-esque. Kate Blanchett plays Phyllis Schlafly, who was the leader of the anti-ERA forces. She's clearly going to win an Emmy. It's a brilliant, brilliant recreation of that era and a really interesting history lesson as well. The final episode airs Wednesday, but obviously you can catch up on all 8 episodes.
I'm here for any show that does a different decade. I just like the costumes, the cars, all that stuff.
Yeah, and they're doing it, and they're doing it well, which really counts. It's one of my weird little obsessions is that I'm always looking for anachronisms in shows, you know, like a show about the 1970s and they're talking on cell phones or something weird like that. But these shows is very, very true to the era. They've got the fashions down. They spend, millions of dollars on fashions and extras and sets. So yeah, I think people are a lot more attuned to recreating those eras. It's something that started, I would think, with Mad Men.
I loved Mad Men. And I was late to the game on that. I didn't watch it till like the series was over. And then all of a sudden, I know. I don't know where I was. I'm like not good like that. I don't know why. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, that seems like it was a thing. Let me rewatch it from the beginning. And then I have no one to talk to about it because everyone watched it 3 years ago, you know?
Well, you could have talked to me. I mean, I'm obsessed with it.
Andy, I've gone through my Netflix. I've gone through my Hulu. I've gone through all my DVR stuff. Like, what do I need to watch that's coming out like right now?
Yeah, there's a show. It's starting tonight. It's on Fox. And if you're, you know, hungry for watching sports, it's a show called Ultimate Tag. It's a game of tag that we all played as kids, supersized into WWE territory. So you have these really buff professional taggers, they're called, and they chase people around obstacle courses. And it sounds weird, but it's really funny. It's very exciting. American Ninja Warriors crossed with WWE, crossed with the playground. So I would recommend that. Wednesday, May 20th, tonight on Fox.
All right, very cool. Wait, what was the name of that show? You remember that show? I know you do. It was the same thing. They would get hit. Oh my gosh, what was it called? It was like an adult obstacle course, remember?
But it's American Gladiators, man. Come on. All that spandex and baby oil.
That was the jam.
Yeah, and this is not dissimilar.
Andy Edelstein, he's from Newsday, entertainment editor. Thank you for taking the time. We got a lot to watch.
You're very welcome. Don't strain your eyes.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their problem is, and then you judge who's right. Charlie and Heather. Heather, let's start with you. What's going on?
So I would like to book our Disney trip for Christmas break. I mean, I think that the flights are cheap now, and if we want things to go back to normal, there's, you know, if we wait till then, there's going to be just like such a rush that it's going to be too expensive.
Okay.
So that's my take on it.
All right. Yeah. And what's the problem with that, Charlie?
I mean, absolutely not. No way. That's crazy, all right? I mean, this is a global pandemic. We have no idea of how long it's going to last. We're going to get sick, you know? It's entirely possible. We're going to book these tickets and then, you know, have to cancel the entire trip because we don't know how long this is going to last. And if we go, let's say we go, right? This is still going on. We're going to get sick. We're going to give it to others. I mean, who can think of doing a thing in a time like this?
But are you able to
get ahead?
But can you get the money back if you cancel?
I think so.
I mean, maybe, but it seems like a weird time to even think of that right now. You know, it's like, that's not what we need to be thinking about.
I've seen the wording on trip insurance. I know this just because my stepson has just recently booked a trip as well. And they're 22, so what can I tell them? You know, I told them it wasn't the best idea at this point, and they swear that their language covers them in their insurance. But I've looked it over, and it doesn't really, unless the places that they're supposed to go to cancel these things on their own. Now, the airlines, a lot of them are laxed on their rules. But if you're booking like a group trip or something like that, a lot of them, if they're open, you don't have the option to cancel at some point.
I feel like Disney would be a little bit more accommodating.
You would think so. I mean, they have the money. They could certainly cover it, and they have an image to protect.
Well, what we do is ask the audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Heather. Like, just go for it. Secure it so it's there and it's done. And if you have to make changes, and you make changes when the time comes. Can't just stop our lives for this. But they may see Charlie's side, too, that there's a lot that's changing every day, and it's better just to hold on. Hold on for one more day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Every time.
I've lost my mind. It's gone.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Sure. Absolutely.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
One couple, one problem. Anna and Raven are the judge. You're the jury. The Honda of Westport Couples Court on Star 99.9.
It's Still a big question mark whether or not it's going to be safe to travel going forward, what the precautions are going to be, what the warnings are. And Heather and Charlie are having a disagreement about that. Heather says, let's book our Disney trip for Christmas time. We said we were going to go. We're going to go. Let's book it. He's like, why would we possibly do that now?
Yeah, Charlie sounds like he's very concerned about the fact that they could get ill. That not only would it be the uncertainty out there in the world, but their travel arrangements itself and the fact that they would just be down there exposing themselves unnecessarily. You know, I go back and forth here, and as like some moments I feel like we got to hunker down. We got to be safe. We got to, you know, do the long course, try and see the window over there. You know, like basically the opportunity to knock this off now. On the other hand, it feels good to get moving and do things, and momentum is important.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's in the same boat. Nobody knows what to do.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the white side. Go for it. Take back our country. Move on. Let's get this going. If you have to change at the end, change at the end.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Heather is ready to book their Christmas trip to Disney World, but her husband Charlie says she's lost her mind. We don't even know what's going to happen in the next couple weeks, let alone the next 6 months.
They have questions about whether or not they'd be able to get it all back. He just thinks they're exposing themselves unnecessarily.
Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven, 1-800-330-9999.
I am on the husband's side. We just canceled our Disney trip. The whole reason you go down there is for the magic, and if everyone's wearing a mask and standing 6 feet apart, you can't really immerse yourself.
I'm just wondering if Mickey will wear a mask and how big that mask will be.
That's an interesting point, is that you're not getting the same experience. So will you really be having as much fun?
But for me, I find something very intriguing about that, is that I kind of want to see what it's like, because will we ever, hope to God not, have this opportunity again? Thank you for the call.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side.
Go ahead.
We had through this vacation book and even had the insurance, and to get our money back was very difficult. And you know what? You don't know who's going to be bankrupt, what airline. Book it. We don't even know if we're going to have another pandemic with the flu. So wait until the last minute. You'll get the best deal if everything is fine.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. You know what? I work for a Catholic high school on Long Island, and they plan their senior trip. And with the whole pandemic going on, Disney wasn't with me, and they had to fight tooth and nail to get money back for kids who weren't getting to go on their senior trip.
That stinks.
And the parks were closed. They still
had
to fight it.
Right, right. My wife always says, always negotiate the final deal before you pay a dime, because getting it back is always so much harder. Thank you for the call.
I can't believe that they're giving the kids a hard time, like they don't have enough problems.
It's business, Anna Zapp. A kid is no different than a mother, no different than a father, no different than anybody else. What are you talking about? Oh, the children.
I don't like it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Heather, our audience agreed with you. If you're going to be able to secure it, you're going to be able to get a good rate on it, then just go for it. If you have to cancel, you'll know as you get closer.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. See, people are reasonable. I knew it.
Well, I hope it works out. I mean, it's good to have a positive outlook and say, like, you know, hey, things are going to be back to normal. And at some point, they have to get there. Hopefully that's the way it all plays out. You know, if it does, you'll be looking back and saying to yourself, we made the right decision. If it doesn't, well, you'll be fighting for those dollars to get them back. But hopefully it won't come to that.
Charlie, you good with that?
I mean, that's wild, but what can I do, I guess? That's crazy.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Lynn.
Hey, Lynn, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
All right, Raven, please leave the room.
Lynn, you got it. Good luck.
Here's how it works.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'm going to bring them back in and ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. But here's the thing. If you tie, it goes to Raven. You got to beat them fair and square. Ready to do it?
Yes.
Number one, Brian Austin Green confirmed that he and Megan Fox have split after pics of her with Machine Gun Kelly were leaked. In what show did Brian Austin Green play David Silver?
Beverly Hills 90210.
Number two, Legally Blonde 3 is in the works with Mindy Kaling as a writer. Mindy Kaling is also known as Kelly Kapoor on what TV show?
The Office.
Number three, Bret Michaels says he's ready to perform at concerts as long as it's social distant. He thinks it's cool. What band is he the lead singer of?
Poison.
Number four, Kellogg's has redesigned Toucan Sam with a turquoise body and a psychedelic rainbow beak. What cereal is he the mascot for?
Fruit Loops.
Okay. And number five, Fauci, Cuomo, and Newsom underwear are selling big, and proceeds are going to support the New York City COVID fight. Newsom is the governor of what state?
California.
All right. Nice job, Lynn. Let's bring Raven back in.
The best two out of three.
Where is he? Come in, Raven. Hey! Screaming. All right. They got all five. Ready?
That's very impressive.
Number one, Brian Austin Green confirmed that he and Megan Fox have split after pics of her with Machine Gun Kelly were leaked. In what show did Brian Austin Green play David Silver?
90210.
Number two, Legally Blonde 3 is in the works with Mindy Kaling as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Mindy Kaling is also known as Kelly Kapoor on what TV show?
The Office, of course.
Number three, Bret Michaels says he's ready to perform at concerts, even if it's socially distanced. What band is he the lead singer of?
Poison. Come on, Poison was it? You know I had a Poison back patch. You knew that about me.
You love Poison.
1,000 years ago.
Arkansas had their first concert, and there's pictures all over the internet. And it's socially distant. It looks like the saddest concert I've ever
seen. Yeah. The energy's no good.
Yeah. But it's live music again. So
I mean, it
that.
Feels good, I bet, for the individual to just be there and be in the sunshine and have other people around. I told you, I miss strangers.
They weren't. No, they're inside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
they're not
that's
outside.
Weird. No, I'm not here for that.
Yeah. There's like one person per section. I don't know. It's interesting. Number four, Kellogg's has redesigned Toucan Sam with a turquoise body and a psychedelic rainbow beak. What cereal is he the mascot for?
Fruit Loops, isn't it?
Yep. And number five, Fauci, Cuomo, and Newsom underwear are selling big, and proceeds are going to support the New York City COVID fight. Newsom is the governor of what state?
Gavin Newsom is the governor of California.
Yes.
Woo! Let me see 5 for 5. Take that.
And maybe they were too easy today. You guys tied, so that does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt, Lynn.
Sweet.
All right, Raven, this day I could not beat you and my crew.
Better luck next time.
Got another shot to get the cheat sheet. The first two answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today.